thing while you were with
Alright, so we're in Siman Kuf Samach phase. Alright, somewhat new topic, pretty relevant. Certainly at first glance seems very relevant, and then we'll whittle it down a little bit. So if we look in the Tur Beis Yosef, so really the Tur spells it out, it's the Perish Mishnah. As the Beis Yosef, we'll just post it from the Mishnah. It's also interesting that it's a Mishnah towards the end of Eiz V'Neshech, which is why the Beis Yosef, or the Torah feels the need to take something from the end of Eiz V'Neshech and put it in the beginning. It's an interesting phenomenon. So anyways, so Asur Lilvos, as the Torah says, Asur Lilvos Sa B'Sa, that one is not permitted to trade or to lend a saw for a saw. Saw is a measure of flour or grain or something. So here, please give me a grain of saw and I'll pay you back in 6 months a saw of grain. So that's a problem. That's usur. Why is that usur? It sounds like it's a pretty fair trade. And so to anything, with the exception of a coin, whether you set the time for payback or whether you don't. Why? So the shema yisyaikru benimsa So what's the concern? That the saw of grain which you originally lent, so the value of a saw of grain is now going to go up, and now you're going to be paying back more than what you took. So it ends up being that you're paying back ribis. So that's the problem. So it adds in the exception. However, imlo shiyasu damin. Unless you set the price before it. I mean, instead of saying I'm borrowing 100 sa of grain, I'm hereby buying $10 worth of grain. In which case, I'll give you back $10 worth of grain in 6 months from now. The problem with that is that you might end up giving a different amount of grain than what you did originally, right? So that, but that is the, I mean, the coin, you can go on a dollar amount, you can't go on a unit amount. That's a real word. That's described, really the Mishnah for that, as the Beis Yosef points out, is more towards the beginning of Perek Hazav. The fourth Perek of Masechet Bava Metzia, probably the second most complicated Perek in the Masechet, starts off with Ezu, has it start? Hazav, or I forgot what the words are, but the first Mishnah is describing what is the equation between gold and silver. If one is going to lend based on a gold standard, can you then pay back on a silver standard? So what the Gemara comes out with is that silver is the real standard of currency. I mean, something has to be the standard and something has to change. Yeah. If the core is the standard, so then a core is the standard. And I'd be able to lend a saw for a saw. But that's not what the standard is. The standard is the currency. So if everything's going off the currency, so then commodities are going to fluctuate. Right, off of that currency. Right, so that's what we're dealing with. So he says, right, that the money is the set, and everything else is going off of the money. So if you make it a monetary amount, then that's going to be okay, but just be prepared that the amount that you're going to get back could potentially fluctuate. So being low asu damim, so then if you don't do that, v'nisi yikru, and it actually does go up in value, so no sein lo hadamim, Shayushavim b'shas halva v'imhuzlu nosin lochitin. He says, well, then you end up better off as being the borrower. You would give back, if it goes up in value, you pay back the monetary amount. So you're going to end up giving back less wheat than what you took because you're giving back the value for what you took. And if the value goes down, so then you could just say, all right, well, here's your here's your wheat, right? And you're saving yourself some money now. Okay, you're the lova, right? The lova is permitted to do that. That's reverse ribis, which is okay. The dinar zahav. So now the Torah then goes on and says, now a golden coin yesh lo din pri, has the din of a pri, right? A golden coin is a fruit. It's not, but it is because, again, as we said before, we're basing ourselves off of the silver monetary system, as opposed to the gold monetary system. So if that's the case, so gold is considered a peros compared to silver.
A commodity,
right.
Yeah, fluctuates relative.
Right, like peros, commodity.
It's going to fluctuate relative to the silver.
So yeshel din pri sha'asu, you're not permitted to lend a gold coin for a gold coin. Why? Shema osu sheshava b'sha'as halva arbav eshim din rei kesev. He says, perhaps at the time that you lent it, it was worth 24 golden coins, silver coins. Yeshava b'shas peron chamisha v'ashrim. And at the time you pay back, it's not going to be worth more. About mutr levos, you are permitted to lend a dinar kesef chen kol sharmat be, and any other type of coin. Now, why is a gold coin different? So v'hani mili kishe yotzei b'hotza. About im nifsal ve'eno yotzei b'hotza havi kashar peri v'asur levos evzeh. So what are we talking about?
It's not good currency, I think.
Right, when that's what's being used, right? About
when it's a valid currency,
right? Kishiyotzebehotza, when it can be used as currency, a valid nifsal. But if it's not being used anymore, so then it's like rare coins. So v'asu levosevzen, you wouldn't be allowed to lend based on that, right? We saw the story about the 8-year-old girl who found the coin this week. Did we see that? There's some girl in a settlement, you know, on the West Bank, some West Bank town, found some ancient coin, and she put it in her. Like jewelry chest. Like my father sent me the story with the headline. I could see Shira doing the same thing. Like she got a cute coin. All right, let me put it with my, you know, my two earring and the. So then the parents found out about this, and the law in Israel is that you got to give it into to whatever. So there's this picture of him giving her this big certificate that here's a Yeshikaya for giving us the coin. Then it came out 2 days later that it was really fake. It was just something that from a museum someplace that was. Copy of half of coin or whatever it is back in the day. But anyways, all a cute story all around. So if it's an old Roman coin, so that doesn't really have a value, a monetary value, that has a product value, that has a value as being an object rather than being a currency.
So why was it necessary to tell the story with Sa'a and also gold?
Well, the chiddush is the sa'a is going to be the general thing that is a commodity. The gold is a chiddush. The gold is saying, don't think that any coin is just a coin, right? Gold is even considered to be an issue. Now you can see right off the bat that there is an issue, and he alludes to it, although he doesn't come to a conclusion about it. What about trading different currencies? Right, so you see that issue coming. Now, that's not going to be really discussed in the Rishonim. That wasn't really an issue for them. Well, I guess it could have been an issue for them, but I didn't see it there. But he makes that point. What about lending in shekelim and getting paid back, or lending in shekelim in America, right? Or the opposite in Israel, with dollars in Israel. Now, you might have a bigger problem with dollars in Israel because dollars really is a currency in Israel. Shekelim really is not a currency in America. But how one goes with two different currencies, that's going to be a problem. Or what if you make a loan in one country and then you pay back in
any
country? Right, so how are you going to settle that issue is a problem. And it's constantly changing, and the exchange rate between the two changes every day, probably. They set the amount in the morning for that day. So I had to resolve that issue. I don't know. I have to ask you a local Orthodox rabbi.
Question occurred to me. I don't know. Maybe it's too soon to bring it up. But is the dollar bill considered to be a coin or a commodity?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Coins themselves are going to be an issue.
So we'll get to that in the Shulchan Aruch itself. To do this, we can just go to the Shulchan Aruch itself. Kufkan Beis Sif Aleph. So in Kuf Samach Bey Sif Aleph, we say Asur Luvo Savazah, right? Such a thing is prohibited, and this pipes up pretty commonly over the issue of Savazah. Is maybe the most common issue over the course of the chapter of Ezehu Ribbis of Ezehu Neshach. That issue is coming up, even though it's not spelled out in the Mishnah as being a problem until the very end of the parak. But Asur Luvo Savazah Afilu Lo Katzav Lo Zman LePeron, even if you don't set a time for when it's going to be payback. And so to everything except for a silver coin. Why? Because the concern is that it's going to go up in value, and you're going to get back more than you lent. Unless you set the money, the monetary price. If you ended up making this deal, so then the borrower, the lova, has the right to pay back whatever is going to be better for him, either to pay back a monetary amount if that's going to be less than the amount of the commodity that he borrowed, or to pay back the commodity if the commodity is less than the monetary amount that he did. Okay, so that's issue one. So there is an interesting Taz here who says, oh, I got an idea, we can just solve all the problems. The Taz, right off the bat, Usur Lilvos Saw Basa, comes the Taz and says, Nirali the Derek Mekach Mutter. If you do it Derek Mekach, it would be okay. The whole thing would be okay. What does that mean? Dahainu imocher lo sa, vishalim lo bizman katsuv sa acheres takteha, davakar l'sechar ulahepsid. So what is he suggesting? He says, rather than saying I'm hereby lending you a saw of wheat, I'm hereby selling you a saw of wheat. And what are you going to have to pay me back with? You're going to have to pay me back with a saw of wheat. Right? And then as long as you shift it all into Derek Mekach HaMekach, it should be okay. I should have pointed out originally, this whole issue is only Derabanan, right? For many reasons it's only Derabanan, right? The main reason being is that it's only Ribbis D'Oraisa if it's set, and this isn't set. It's only, the concern is that maybe the monetary will be changed and then it's going to be okay, so that's Durabana number one. And then the Taz says, well, if you move it into a Mekach HaMemchart, in which case it's all Durabana anyways, so that should be enough to shift it to be Mutter. That is the Taz's suggestion here. Why? Right? The Az Afilu Bahalva in Kaneser. Even the loan isn't really Aser El Midurban. It's only a Din Durabanan anyways. Mimela. Kishu Derek Mekach Mutter Lagamri. So therefore, it's going to be Derek Mekach. We're going to just say, if it's a way of business, if it's done in a commercial way, so we'll just say that it's Mutter. Daminator Mutter Derek Mekach. Right? Derek Mekach. Because that's also not Aser Doraisa. So therefore, you put these two Durabanans, we'll say that it's okay. Afilu Bakarab Leschar. Even if it is near certain, sounds like that you're going to make money and you're far away from losing. And we wouldn't say that it would be a mekach tos kishem misyakir when it goes up in value. Commission askir. I'm not sure what that stands for. Besimin kufayin gimel. I'm not sure. Aleph yud hey. Do you have a?
We don't have to
read it. Siftes. V'chein kasev. Maybe it means later. Somehow later. Okay. V'chein kasev hedu nuke yosef tekilas parak v'zeh l'sham v'techol derek mekach memchar abak ribesu v'ekilu bub inyan zen if we'll be makel here shu pairs prepares, which is an exchange of pairs prepares. So that is the Taz's suggestion. That solves all of these problems. Doesn't solve all the problems. The biggest problem, before we go further, what is the biggest problem when you think about this? Is, wait a second. So if I go to my neighbor and borrow a egg, right? So that sounds like it should be us, right? That's an Isser of Sa Basa. So can I say, well, I'm hereby buying an egg, right? And I will pay you back an egg later on. Would that then be okay? So if one problem is, I'm not sure neighbors want to get into that type of arrangement, then you have a Geneva issue on your hand, or you might have a Geneva issue on your hand anyways, but that's number one. The other issue is that often, when do these things come up? That would be on Shabbos, right? So if you're going to change it to a direct Mekach HaMemchar, so then that would then be Usser on Shabbos. So anyways, that is the Taz's suggestion. It is not accepted. In Chalkas Binyamin, he runs off a litany of Achronim that don't like this, including Rav Moshe, including, I think, the Chazon Ish. Not such fans of this kula, but it is a good one to keep in mind. Okay, the next issue that we have over the course of this discussion here is the Piskei Tshuva here. The Piskei Tshuva says, the Shem Yisrak, v'nim sesh nosin lo yoser, v'ma shehelva'u, im lo sheyasu dam.
Which Piskei?
So Piskei Tshuva Beis. Piskei Tshuva Beis says, unless you do it in terms of money. So comes the Piskei Tshuva and says, I am Tshuva Beis Ephraim, chelik yudal, yiradeus, and mem gimel. Got it?
Yeah.
Piskei Tshuva Beis. Shekasa dal korchak lo sherinam ela, behisna b'peros sheyifra lo maus. Right? It only works if you say it beferish. Right? If you only say beferish, I'm hereby giving you peros, which you'll pay me in a monetary amount. Aval im hisne shehabrira biyad hamalve. But if you just say, oh, you have a choice, right? Lekacha schitim omos in miatanai moa. The tanai is not going to work, right? Va'adarabba, migra gar, you actually make it worse. Why? Shim huzlu acharka chachitim, because if the value actually goes down, the nosin lomos, kefisha hayashum b'shas halva, and you give him the money for what it was at the time of the halva, have ribis ketsutza. You've now violated ribis doraisa. Well, how'd that just happen? Right? So, if you're saying, I'm hereby giving you a, how do you set it up here? If it goes down in the wheat goes down in value, huzul achar kachachitim, the nosin lo mos, and you give him the money according to what it was at the time of the halva, we call that ribis ketsutza, because the loan, if you give the choice, the loan really was, I'm hereby giving you this amount of wheat, and I want this value of wheat, so $10 worth of wheat, and now you're going to pay me back. Sorry, not $10 worth of wheat. You give me a core of wheat, and now you're going to pay me back, which at that time was worth $10. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to give me back a core of wheat in 6 months from now. So the core of wheat could then be less than that, right? That would then be, in theory, okay. But if I go back and give you $10 instead of a core of wheat, so you're hereby has just violated a set amount of ribis. Now, I'm not sure I would really call ribis kapsutza, because I think ribis ketsutza is not if you. I'm not sure. We gotta know a little bit more. So ribis ketsutza, I thought ribis ketsutza was a set amount of interest, not a set dollar amount, right? Which is what he's doing here, but he knows better than me. But anyways, shekibishahisna unless you made that tanai in the first place.
But even if you make the tanai, and that happens,
right?
So the fact that you made the tanai means. You made a tanai that's going to cause you to pay back more than you borrowed.
Right, but ribis ketsutza, I thought, I'm not sure, maybe you're right, but I thought ribis ketsutza wasn't just hereby making a condition that you pay ribis, it's that you pay this rate of ribis.
Okay, but even if it's not ketsutza, it's still not.
Yeah, but he used the term ribis ketsutza.
Okay, but I mean,
it's but yes, either way it would be a problem, but he said you made it worse by making it now ribis ketsutza and issue ribis deraisa. So that I'm
not sure
about.
Go either way.
Right.
Yes.
It could help you, but it could also, of course, put you.
Right, but then you have the chush and mishpat issue of the guy can make a claim of only having to pay you less, and now he's paying you more. That's the ribis. That's the challenge of ribis. Right. So that is the challenge of that is the big challenge of sa v'sa. Now the Rama has two major kulas, one of which doesn't really make that big of a difference to us. It does make a big difference to us, but not. Well, won't have that many ramifications. The second one has very large ramifications. So the Rama says, number one, Yish mi shekasav duzman hazeh matpeh shel zav dinu kekasav, v'lov in zahav v'zahav. That nowadays, matpeh of a gold coin has the same din as a silver coin. V'lov in zahav v'zahav. And then you have the right to trade gold coins for gold coins, v'chein noagim lahakil. And that is going to be, and that's our minug, v'ein limchus b'yadam ki yesh lahem al meishi yismichu. And we're not, and don't protest against those that do it, because they certainly have what to rely on. All right, so what is he saying? Yeah? So what's the reason for that? So in the Beis Yosef, I believe, where he talks about where, I forget where I saw the background for this, is Beis Yosef at the Chalchus Bin Yamin. But what he explains is that back in the day, silver coins were real silver. But then later on, silver coins became diluted silver. And everybody just knew that the silver coins were really diluted silver. There was a lot of copper in, and gold coins also. So really, in essence, you're following a currency rather than following a coin value. Yeah. So that's what the Rama is really saying you could do. If you could follow a currency, you don't have to follow a coin value. So that has a very interesting ramification. Now, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelek Yoritea, Simon Kuf Yudala. So Simon Kuf Yudala, which I marked off with my Percocet bookmark.
Oh, I saw that. What the heck's he doing?
I have a box of them.
I am sure. Go ahead.
From back in the day. So Rav Moshe has the following shaila, which he got from England, about a person whose house. Person bought a house, for example, for £1,000, and then it went up in value over 40 years to £2,000. So now he's selling it for £2,000, which means he's making a £1,000 profit. which means that he would then be chayiv to, well, chayiv is a strong term, but he, if he's somebody who gives miser ksafim, so he says, oh, I hereby have to give 10% of my 1,000-pound profit. Right? The problem he suggests is, he says, wait a second, but it's not really that I made 1,000 pounds on this, because a pound now, 30 years later, is worth a lot less than a pound was back then. So really, if you factor in the rate of inflation, so the rate of inflation will get you to, it says, 1,800 pounds. So really, I'm only making a 200-pound profit if I factor in the rate of inflation, in which case instead of having a 100-pound Meiser Ksafim bill, I only have a 20-pound Meiser Ksafim bill. Right? That was his shaila. So what do I factor in the rate of inflation when figuring out Meiser Ksafim? So it's really a Meiser Ksafim shaila. But Rav Moshe then says, okay, well, really this is also factors into Rivas, and he spends most of the tshuva dealing in Hilchos Rivas, and he makes the following distinction between Hilchos Rivas and Hilchos Meiser Ksafim. He says Hilchos Rivas is based on the monetary system in effect, and therefore the monetary system is really following Dina de Malchusa. And the government doesn't factor in rate of inflation. That's not a law. That's a reality, perhaps. But it's not a law. So whatever money you owe in terms of taxes, things like that, I don't know if the IRS factors in rate of inflation. You just have monetary amount.
Social Security, they do, for example.
But okay,
well, they might.
But the cost of living, it's just based on inflation.
Yeah,
it's not alone with anything.
Right.
Okay.
It's a pound is, in this case, a pound is a pound.
A dollar is a dollar.
There you go.
So that would be based off of this Rambam. That really we're just following whatever the established currency is, and the currency follows is in theory patterned after the value of gold, even though it's really not patterned after the value of gold, right? And the government sets the currency. So therefore, that's going to be the rate that we base everything else off of. Mm-hmm. Because in Hilchos Rivas, you're then not going to factor in inflation because that's not part of the law. That's just the reality that exists. Says, however, in Meiser Ksafim is not a Dina de Malchusa issue. Meiser Ksafim is a Halacha issue. So Halacha can make its own rules. So in Halacha's, so in the own rules of Halacha, we're going to say that. You will be permitted to factor in the rate of inflation because it's really a standard that's God's standard rather than the Uncle Sam's, or in that case, I don't know, in the what's it called, Jack, the
Union Jack,
the Union Jack standards, and therefore he makes that distinction. But in terms of our halakos, it's very important. Right? He says whatever the Dina de Malchus is, that's the standard that we're going to follow, regardless of the basis in terms of actual value of silver, gold, etc. It's money that we're following, not the commodities themselves. So that's interesting background issue number one that Rav Moshe quotes. The second issue here is that that the Rama quotes is as follows. It says, Yesh Misha Omer. So Yesh Misha Omer, Demutter Lilvos Kikar Lechem B'Kikar Lechem, that it is actually permitted to lend a loaf of bread for a loaf of bread, Kimapeya Shel Kesef, like a coin of silver. Why? Demi'achar D'Davar Mu'adhu Lokapti B'nei Adam L'Hadadi V'Zeh, that because it's a very small amount, Lokapti B'nei Adam, people are not makbid on one another to make sure that they... to get that amount. I mean, people are allowed to do this, and so adds the Ramah, b'chein noag in lahakel, and that is our minug. Our minug is to be makel. So that all of a sudden is a big weight off of people's shoulders. However, as long as you don't abuse this. So what is really the nature of the kula here?
So that solves the
onion
problem, or
whatever.
Those kinds of things. Yeah. So he does, in the Chalakas of Yemen here, he does put the brakes on this a little bit.
There's got to be a limit of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're going. Yeah.
Right.
Otherwise, you back in trouble. So.
Yeah. Legit. Loaf of bread is not a bushel of it.
that.
Yeah, so the way he explains this is, Vein Sarach Yasu Davin, why Shafilu in Yisak, even if it goes up in value, Holva Kikar Hu Davin Muad, it's a small amount, you know, this Kikar, this amount of bread. Imak Bidim Al Yoker Hama'at, we're not Makbiran going up in value, Shabin's Man Halval is Man Piron. V'lo Yavi B'Torah Shrivis, it's not being given B'Torah Shrivis. V'af Lagav Dib Davin Meruba, even though if it's a large amount, it sounds like it would be prohibited, Lefra Savasa, Afilu Im Eno Makbid, even Afilu Im Eno Makbid, that most people are not, when it comes to a loaf of bread, most people are not going to be lachted. Okay. Then he adds in that's not necessary, that some say, that's the next thing. That maybe it's only if you're neighbors. Why? Why? If they should darkly hanos them, because people that they're in this arrangement with one another and that they're not going to be lachted. It's not nervous. It's just like the community chest.
No, it's just that rule. Come to our house and take stuff.
What?
I said the Zohars used to come to our house.
Yes. Yes, so
you're going to go to their house and take it.
Probably.
Right, so it brings to mind two Seinfeld skits, but one just is the, there's one scene, it's actually a brilliant episode, I hear, so the episode that went backwards, they filmed the whole thing backwards, so the whole episode in reverse order, from the end to the beginning. So the very last scene, and the whole thing is, you know, 10 minutes earlier, a day earlier, 5 hours earlier, whatever, but the last scene was 10 years earlier, and you see, and Jerry is moving into his apartment, and Kramer comes in and introduces himself. And Jerry says something to him like, oh, I have like pizza coming, help yourself to a slice. And he says, oh, please, I wouldn't think of it, you know, I don't want to impose. And Jerry says, oh, come on, we're neighbors now. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. He says, really? That then sets the scene for their entire relationship for the rest of the rest of the story. So that's exactly what's going on here, right? If they're making that thing, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, so then you have the ability to overcome. And he says, it's not necessarily neighbors, if you're friends, whatever, but you have to figure out what the limits are. That obviously is limited. Namely, the limit's going to be if a person really is machbid. He also adds in something that it can't be an obvious difference. So it would be an obvious difference if, let's say, I need orange juice and I borrow a 3/4 fill container of orange juice, and then I borrow 3/4 fill container of orange juice, and I go to the store and give you a full container of orange juice back. So if there is a clear difference, it's not just a commodity issue, but if there's a clear difference in what I'm giving back and what I took, so then you actually do have a real ripus issue. The other thing that should be noticed is the car issue that we've just repeated a bunch of times. This whole issue of commodities is only when you're not returning the commodity. Right, that I'm taking an egg, I'm eating the egg and giving you back a different egg, or I'm taking the milk and giving you back other milk than what I took. But if it is something where I'm just giving you back what I took, so we don't call that a halva, we don't call that a loan, we call that a shoel. We call them a borrower, not a. In English, they're the same words, borrower and borrower. But one is a person receiving a loan, another person is receiving a. Not a loan, but a borrowed object. If you're going to give back the borrowed object, so then that would be okay.
However, with the car, you do have to give them.
Yeah, the gas issue, right? So the way we solve that issue is that I think the way to solve that issue is just to say you're renting the car. If the main thing is you're getting back is the car itself, so yeah, I'm getting the car back, there's more in it, but that was not, I didn't borrow the gas and give you back different gas, I sort of paid you for the use of the car during that time. I think that would be the good language to use for that. One more issue here, this is a chewy here, quote my eye before. Yeah, I think we covered that. Okay, tough. Good. Do we able to do a little more or no? We're good? Okay. So if we go to the next, I don't think there was that much that was added in the... by the way, that issue that the Rama quotes here, so he quotes it from the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is later on in the parak. He quotes Tosos on that page. Quotes it. It says that already. Davar Muat, that it's Shechinim, amongst Shechinim, amongst neighbors, would be permissible.
So when it comes to, for example, gold today, where there's no, the coin's not worth the face value, they're worth much more, if you even have such a coin. Then with that, it probably would be more like a commodity.
It becomes more of a commodity. Yeah, I think
gold is not a standard.
Right, I think if it's not
there's
used
no standard
in business,
value for gold anymore. It used to be, it was $35 an ounce. It's tipped by the government, but now it floats. It doesn't. Standard amount.
Right. If it's not something that's used in trade, I think then it's not part of the monetary system anymore. Okay. So the next halacha is the first exception to the rule of Sa'avasa is what we just learned, that if it's a davar mu'at amongst friends. Number two is kastamach beis imyesh lo ma'at me'oso hamin, that if the borrower actually has a little bit of that, he has a little bit of what he is borrowing. So that would make things permissible. Why in the world should that make things any better? So the reason is why is he borrowing if he has it himself? So he doesn't have the key, it's someplace else, or as we'll see, maybe he needs more than what he has. But the way that we're saying that's okay is that I'm borrowing some milk from you, and I'm hereby setting aside this milk to pay you back the milk that I'm borrowing. So whatever change in commodity happens, it's happening with something that I have that I'm giving back to you. Right? So it ends up being that I'm making an exchange for something that I have in my property, and whatever I have in my property is then going to fluctuate along with whatever it is that I owe you. Right, Al?
Why are you borrowing?
Well, it's locked up. That's what he said.
It's locked up. Oh, it's not accept. Oh.
Right, and my wife has a key.
Maybe to a different
God. Okay. Oh, I'm not okay. Okay, fine.
Right. So Mishlo Ma'at Me'ozo Hamin. So if you have a little bit of that object, I feel.
Well, wait a minute then. A little bit, that's the funny.
Hold on a second. All right. I feel Ein HaMafteach Biyado. Even if he doesn't have the key at that point, right? Lova Alav Kama Sa'in Lifroa Sa' B'Sa'. He can lend him many Sa's, meaning more than what I actually have, in order to and then pay back saw basa. So why is that okay? So now you start starting to get into a little bit of a harama issue here, but the rabbanim make the sole issue is only a din rabbanim. So if the rabbis make the rules, the rabbis have the ability to solve the rules also. They can make the rules however they want it. So what you're hereby doing is I'm hereby giving you a, you know, let's say you have an ounce of milk.
Yeah.
And you need a gallon of milk. So I'm hereby giving you an ounce for the ounce you have, and then you still have that ounce. Yeah. So then I'm going to use it again on the next ounce, and the next ounce, and the next ounce until I get to a gallon. That's the lumpness of how it's working. Now, you say, well, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense if it was a dindor raisa. But here it's a dindor rabbanan. The question is, a dindor rabbanan, we're going to set it up in that way. It no longer looks like a full saw b'sa deal, and therefore it's going to be okay. So let's throw a saw b'sa. Now, let's say he doesn't have any milk, and he still needs milk. So yitin lo hamalva ma'at me'oso hamin. The malva can give him some. He says, okay, here is your first installment.
Yeah, this is
right. Oh, yulveyu lo, or can lend him that installment for a dollar value. Then he'll lend him a lot of sons based off of that.
Okay.
So yeah,
it's harama.
Sort of. Harama. There's a technical term called harama, which this would not be. Harama gets into getting around mitzvahs ases. There's no mitzvahs ase to not lend them. Well, I guess there sort of is, but yes, you will not be fulfilling your mitzvahs ase of lending without. Well, you still whatever. But the colloquial term of harama, the colloquial way of using harama of getting around the prohibition, right? That's what we're doing here. That's what's being advocated.
Very creative.
Yeah. So then the Rama adds in, Hailova ma'at me'oso amin, if the lova has a little bit, pikadon biyad acher. Let's say he has a little bit in somebody else's possession. I mean, I have some milk, but the reason I don't have any milk is because I lent it out to the other guy. So he has my milk. Right? So I have it, but he has it. That's why I don't have it right now. I'm going to borrow. So can that count as my saw in order to count against the loan that I'm receiving from you? Right, so yeah, that works. That's good enough.
How is that any different than if the wife has the key and it's locked up?
Well, it's the same kind of thing, right?
No, this is not in your
interest. Yeah. This is the right.
Okay.
But he owes it to me. But let's say it's not a case where I have my milk in someone else's possession, but rather it's that. Don't forget. That's a far side of the street, garbage. But sure. Far side of Haverford Avenue. But if somebody does it, it's not my milk in someone else's possession, it's he owes me some milk. That's not going to count as me having it.
So you can't do that.
Right.
If you have it and you have it someplace else, I'm going to.
No. There's two things. If someone owes him milk, he can't. But if his milk is in someone else's possession and he owns it, then it's okay.
Right.
Seems like a very
but if someone owes him, he's got
milk, whatever.
Right. Okay.
But that's not.
The milk doesn't last very long. That's
true. Well, that's.
I shouldn't use milk as an example. Eggs. Eggs last longer. Eggs
will work. I don't see that there's a real difference between. If I lend you milk. So now it's okay. But if I bought milk from you and you haven't delivered it yet, you still have my milk. What's the difference, Craig?
I think in this case it's not. It's in your possession because I had a power outage and I asked you to watch it for me.
Okay.
Right? So I put it in your fridge.
So it's still different milk.
That's the first case, as opposed to me lending you milk and you're going to give me different milk back. Okay. Right, that would not work.
So when you were, let's say, you were showing her for my milk or something.
Yeah. He, Reisman uses the example of caterers. This could happen with caterers, that you don't have enough chickens. So you buy. He actually said on the shear, an interesting thing, he said, let's say you have a bakery, and one baker is out of eggs, and he's baking for another eggs. People think that, and plus his parents are the Reisman's bakery. So he says, people think that all the bakeries hate each other. They're all in competition with one another, and they would never lend anything to one another. It's not true. They're all friends with one another, and they're happy to lend things to one another, so that happens. So you're out of so that is no longer shchinim. I mean that you don't get the shchinim heter anymore under those circumstances. You're not shchinim. You're really in a business relationship with one another, and you do pay attention to margins and commodities rising and falling and things like that. But the yeshlo issue could very well happen. So fine, or somebody's out on the job with all of the stuff, and now you need, right? So that you could certainly see how yeshlo would exist under those circumstances. What else does he have here? Fine, and the malva does have a way of getting there. Lova sh'amar sheyeshlo ma'at mizeh hamin, or the lova says he has a little bit of this. Yochal hamalva lahalvos lo ve'inu tzarech raya ledvarav. So the malva can, that if the lova says he has some, the malva can lend it to him. He doesn't need proof. He doesn't need to see a WhatsApp picture to prove that he actually has it. And then the last thing here is how the mutter lahalvos lo kishiyish lo miyoso amin, that which is mutter to lend when he has from that amount, haynu stam. About im hamalve masne, but if the malva makes a condition, she'im yisyakru chitim, yishayim lo chitim, v'im yuzlu yitim lo mos, d'mei shvorim, kasher shel achshav, aser d'havi karvus kar v'rachuk lehafsid. He says, if you actually make the deal in a way that we're going to account for the commodities coming up and going down, so that and make interest off of that, right? So then you're back to having the problem. I just wanted to add one thing, especially because I had Joel went all the way up the stairs. to get the Mishnah Berurah forward. This actually, the Mishnah Berurah has a psak on this issue of the Hamuat and the Hilchos Pesach of all places. What's the din there? So in Simon Tuf Nun Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Yisrael Shalova Kikar Michavir Kodem Pesach. If Yisrael lends a loaf of bread to their friend right before Pesach, Sarach Lepor after Pesach, he's got to pay him back after Pesach. V'yishvo Mishum Gezel, and he violates Gezel Imenu Paro. He doesn't pay him back. What's going on? The Mishnah Berurah points out. It says, well, wait a second. What's the value of a loaf of bread on Erev Pesach versus the value of a loaf of bread right after Pesach? Right? It's a substantial difference. So the Mishnah Berurah just has a quick din here. In Siv Beis, he says Mishum Chashash Ribis the Asur Lulu Sab B'Sal Veika Biki Karos. Why? Mishum Dachilu Kubin Aver Muat. So there's only a small difference. Api Rov Velo Kap the Inishvus. And people aren't Makbid. Now, I was just wondering about this. Okay, well, what about, today? People are, they are machmid. A loaf of bread before or after. I guess the assumption is that they're not. But really what the Shulchan Aruch is driving in, that's the Mishnah Berurah, is that chametz doesn't lose its value. If it was traded before, that the value of chametz, the monetary amount that you have representing chametz, doesn't disappear over Pesach. That's the din that's being quoted here. I mean, I still, just because all loaves of bread have to be destroyed doesn't mean that the loaf of bread I owe you is therefore destroyed as well. I owe you a loaf of bread after Pesach is over. And then Mishnah Berurah just jumps in and says, oh, by the way, you might be wondering, kikar b'kikar, which you might have also learned Kuf Samach Beis in Shulchan Aruch, says, yeah, we're talking about the Ramah that where it's mutter. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is adding in here. But a nice catch in Or HaChaim connection. All right?
Okay.
All right. Thank you to Horowitz for hosting.
Yeah, Thursday night.